Thank you so much for joining us, Glenn.
No worries, Ruby.
Now, I guess docuseries is kind of maybe a little bit of a new term. We're very used to hearing documentary and not docuseries. So what exactly is a docuseries and how does it differ from a documentary?
Well, a docuseries is really just a television documentary that's presented across a number of episodes rather than in one sitting. And that's quite important because it allows a greater focus on narrative or on having a narrative and letting that narrative unfold slowly across a number of episodes. And it's, in a TV sense, it's particularly kind of resonant in a binge watching era where we watch lots of episodes one after the other.
And why do you think these docuseries are kind of catching on so much? Like, why are they thriving so well at the moment?
Well, I think that for a couple of reasons. I think their popularity and their style kind of seems to stem from the popularity and kind of emergent genre of true crime podcasts. But it's also part of the, if we talk about Netflix, for example, part of Netflix's kind of enormous investment in programming, in original programming, and this is a way in which it can do that beyond kind of prestige dramas.
Right, and now two major docuseries from this year, Surviving R. Kelly and Leaving Neverland, brought in some of the largest numbers of viewers in terms of documentary specials in the last decade. Do you think these stories would have had, I guess, like a different impact before the Me Too movement, for example?
I don't think so. I mean, it's hard to kind of... It's not so easy to connect either of those directly to Me Too because the underage aspect is so integral to each scandal. But Me Too has certainly created an environment in which abusive men are being called to task by victims who refuse to remain silent or cowed by power. So it certainly seems that it fits within that Me Too moment in that sense. One kind of really interesting element about Surviving R. Kelly is that it appears on the Lifetime channel, which is, I guess, traditionally was considered to be, everyone kind of has perhaps heard of these Lifetime movies, and there are these kind of movies made for pitched at women in particular, and so that, I think that certainly adds a very interesting element to Surviving R. Kelly, for it to be this real interrogation of male abuse.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like I work at JB Hi-Fi outside of working here at the radio station, and I've seen so many Lifetime films come through our doors, and they all look exactly the same. So for something as like huge as Surviving R. Kelly to come out on Lifetime is kind of incredible. Now, do you think that streaming services such as Netflix and Lifetime that are constantly producing a lot of content are perhaps tainting the credibility of the documentary genre?
No. Look, if anything, you could argue that they are perhaps elevating it. They're certainly remaking it, and they're remaking it with a quality TV aesthetic. So it kind of fits within the true crime podcast narrative style, but it also adds a quality TV aesthetic that we more often connect to all those prestige dramas that we're all obsessed with.
Right, of course. And now switching over to reality TV, of course, another kind of trend that's up and at 'em right now with like Married at First Sight and The Bachelor. Mm-hmm. Now we're seeing a lot of headlines about the dramas that are happening in Married at First Sight and The Bachelor and whatnot in like news websites and newspapers. Why do you think this is?
Well, I mean, I guess there's been that gradual changing in how we view popular culture and how seriously we take popular culture. But there's also been some very real changes in how news is delivered. And in an online context, news simply requires, the news media require eyeballs. And therefore they require things that will get us to click through. And so reality TV, because it is so salacious and scandalous and very much of the moment, is a great cheap way for them to get our kind of eyeballs to follow the stories. But it is also tied to this kind of mainstreaming, I think, of fan culture in particular. So things that would have been seen to be fanatical, like following stars outside of their characters, outside of a season, are now very much part of everyday culture, as we kind of remember from the kind of obsession with Jon Snow's hair and to decide whether he was alive or dead in the show.
Right. Yeah, of course. Well, last question, and this is kind of a mixture of both. Now, in terms of documentaries and reality TV shows, why do you think that audiences are at this current moment in time so much more captivated by like real life crime in terms of documentaries and real life drama in terms of reality TV shows than maybe fiction, perhaps?
Well, I'm not sure that's totally the case, as we're about to find out when Game of Thrones comes
back. Yeah, fair enough.
There are lots of countdowns to that. I mean, I was kind of thinking that in some ways, maybe these two trends are kind of mirrors. And in some ways, the docuseries are kind of a kind of antidote of sorts to the saturation of reality TV, in the sense that the docuseries create a sense of authenticity, or this kind of sense of authenticity is designed into their look and their style. That said, I think that, you know, while reality TV shows kind of need to create or even manufacture a kind of a sense of drama, and they often do it in, you know, nefarious ways, I think it's mistaken to actually think that docuseries are any less produced. They're just as constructed, but they're just constructed to kind of seem or appear authentic as part of their aesthetic. And I think that at least in the case of reality TV, perhaps less so in the case of docuseries, where people kind of just are really pulled into those narratives. I think it's kind of in essence kind of always a mistake to think that reality TV fans are naive or gullible. I think that they always know how confected that reality is, but that kind of need not distract or detract from the pleasures they get from this confected, melodrama. And we can even see that the way that the genre even now kind of shows us its artifice. Like we sometimes now see producers in the shot, and we sometimes hear producers asking questions.
Yeah.
So the genre almost knows that or understands that we can love it as well as know kind of how it's put together.
Mm. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Glenn.
Oh, it's a pleasure.